This is Who's Talkin' on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talkin' is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaber.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Le Maire Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
All right, all right. Wow, what a weekend in Charlottesville it was. A lot of Olympic sports news, and it was a very good weekend for the Hoos in almost all areas.
I sense you're in a better mood than you've been in several weeks.
Hey,
Frank does not see another loss on the schedule.
I think that the Wahoos are going to run the table.
That's it right there.
Hey, Wahoos beat Georgia Tech 27-21.
Happy Halloween.
Hey, 27-21 Wahoos, and they certainly made the Rambling Wreck triple option offense looked rather ineffective, and that's the first time in 4 years they've done that. And I got to tip my hat to the John Tenuta and the other defensive coaches at Virginia.
No, the defense did a terrific job.
They knew what was coming. They only got fooled twice out of all those plays. And when you can force Paul Johnson's offense to throw 31 passes, you're doing a lot of things right. Those are the most passes Paul Johnson has had his team throw since Georgia Tech joined the ACC.
But it does show that Georgia Tech can throw when they have to. But
Since Paul Johnson joined the ACC.
But the the special teams, still some question marks there.
It was just a lousy onside kick.
It certainly kept the suspense going. For an old geezer like me that could potentially have heart issues, I'd just as soon see them recover the onside kick, take a couple of knees, and make it a little easier.
We're going to come back to some of the highlights of the UVA victory over Georgia Tech, which, by the way, puts the Hoos at 2-2 in the ACC. And you know what? Stranger things have happened, folks. All right, Hobbo is going to talk about the upcoming shows.
Yeah, we got two big shows. We got Dave Kane and J.C. Poma and Dr. Bogle on tonight's show. But next week, Ryan Keel, former
tackle.
Great Virginia football player will be on, hopefully talking about the win over Miami and looking forward to Louisville. And we got my friend and longtime TV analyst Dan Bonner will join us next week to sort of preview the upcoming basketball season.
And I saw Dan Bonner down at ACC Operation Basketball down in Charlotte. He was in great spirits, and he talked about a 30-game schedule that he has this year prior to the tournament, and it's a little bit lighter than usual, but I think he sort of enjoys that, and maybe he's not so crushed by all the travel.
Well, I'm sure his family, his wife Terry, will be happy to have him around once in a while during the winter months. Jody Smith will be our doctor next week. And then the other thing I really want our fans to know, November the 16th, 2 weeks from tonight, we are going to do a live broadcast from Fridays. One of our terrific sponsors at the Friday's location, Broad and Glenside. Our show will be the normal 6 o'clock. We'll be on 6 to 7, and then we want everybody to come not only to be there for our show, but to stay and watch the Hoos play GW as part of the ESPN 24-hour consecutive basketball tip-off classic. The Virginia game will start at 7:30. So come on out to Friday's. We'll hopefully have some restaurant guests, maybe Terry Gates, probably reach out to Mark Newland, Yuri Barnes, some of basketball guys, as well as a football guest. So it'll be a lot of fun. November the 16th, 2 weeks from tonight, Fridays, Broad and Glenside.
And more details will be forthcoming. But in the meantime, the Wahoos have a lot going on. Let's look at this thing. UVA plays at Miami and Sun Life Stadium next Saturday at 3 o'clock. Raycom Sports Network. Right now, there is no line on the game. So we have no favorite. We have no underdog. And I got to believe that the Wahoos can take that one because, let's face it, I think Virginia over the last three or four weeks has played better football. if they can eliminate the turnovers.
Well, you said earlier, you know, Coach London, to his credit, the players are really playing hard for him. You know.
Oh, listen, the players love Mike London, so they're fighting. And guess what? We are excited to bring on our first guest, none other than the voice of the Cavaliers. He's been with UVA now in that capacity as the play-by-play voice since 2008, I believe.
That is right.
And
they kicked me out, brought Dave in.
I tell you what, a huge step up. Now, how about you're a color analyst? You were not play-by-play.
Well, I tried.
You wanted to be play-by-play.
That's it. I wanted to do some games.
In fact, I think you were to do play-by-play and the analyst job. All right. Without further ado, Dave Kane, welcome to Who's Talking.
You'd have been too intimidated, that's for sure. No doubt about it.
Too much pressure.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, let's get right to it. You know, a crazy good game by the Cavaliers on kind of a cloudy, windy, strange day in Halloween, and everybody's dressed up in crazy costumes, but the Cavaliers wore their football uniforms, and they played very well, didn't they?
Keep them from scoring that go-ahead touchdown and revisiting some of that sordid history that we've seen at times.
Dave, how did you describe that onside kick? It was funny for me Saturday. I was there for part of the game, had to come back to Richmond because of my grandkids. So at the end of the game, I'm watching the thing on TV, but I'm about to have a heart attack on an onside kick. It almost looked like the Virginia guys were running away from the ball, not realizing that they could go get it before it went 10 yards.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm interested to talk to Coach London about tonight on our coaches show is it really was a unique onside kick. You just don't see that kind of a kick very often that was so slow moving, but you had a real sense that it was going to cover the requisite 10 yards to be a recoverable play for Georgia Tech. And so normally you think, all right, let's let the thing go and we won't touch it because if it doesn't cover 10 yards, then it's Virginia football. But that one seemed to have eyes for covering the 10 yards, but even though it was going very slowly, so it's just unusual. I mean, I just haven't seen it very often. So it's one of those deals where you have the advantage where you can technically box out the other guys if you're Virginia and then you have first dibs at it. But if you don't get it in that setting and maybe the ball wasn't going to cover 10 yards, then all of a sudden you're the GOAT. So it was kind of a curious onside kick in a lot of ways. So, you know, we've just seen so many of those types of things against Virginia for whatever reason. But, I was glad that didn't come back to haunt them in the end.
By the way, Frank, that's why he's a play-by-play guy. Did you hear that word, requisite?
Yes.
You know, I mean, I have no idea what that means, let alone spell it. But, that's why I was a color guy.
He certainly pronounced it better than you pronounced Louisville. Terry Gates texted me moments ago making fun of the way Habbo pronounced Louisville. He said, Habbo said Louisville or something like that.
Well, I'm not from Kentucky. I'm from Western PA. All I can say is Pitt.
Yeah. All right, Dave. You've had some unusual games this year. You had the obviously overmatched out at UCLA when they were healthy. You had the shockingly great game against Notre Dame where the Cavaliers played as if their lives depended on it until the last play. William & Mary was a roller coaster. Boise State, we ran into a juggernaut. Pitt obviously is for real. Syracuse, how many overtimes? Three overtimes?
Yep.
And then UNC, Virginia played the first half, I thought, pretty darn well. I'm not sure what they were drinking or talking about at halftime down there in Chapel Hill. But then,
and UNC is clearly a good football team.
They're clearly a good team.
They have the advantage of not having to go to class. That really helps.
Well, or at least taking that Afro-American studies. But Georgia Tech, 27-21. At any point, Dave, did you and Cove bat around the idea of should Virginia have gone for the two-point play after some of those touchdowns in the second half?
I think it was too early. We really didn't talk about it. I think you don't typically do that unless if you're to that late point in the game where you feel like, okay, this is really going to be the difference between us as we go down the final stretch, because so many things can happen where all of a sudden two teams score. There's just too many moving parts to assure yourself that that's going to be the number that you're trying to shoot for. I just think the odds are against you, and particularly Virginia and some of its travails we've seen in the red zone already this season. It just didn't add up, I think, in general, but particularly maybe for Virginia these days. So I think they made the right decision going with the point after touchdowns the way they did.
Okay. Have to bring this up. I know you've seen this replay a couple times or more. The end of the Miami-Duke game.
Yeah.
What the heck?
You know, that was wild, wasn't it?
First off, I saw, I believe, at least three blocks during that play that were very close, if not blatant clips. I did see what I thought was number one, who I believe was identified as Walton. It appeared both knees touched the ground before he made his pitch. And then there was a pass back by one player, and I don't remember his number, that was very questionable whether it was even behind the receiving back as they got close to the goal line where they retreated 30 yards before they went up the field. And then they had the advantage of review, and somehow they got that wrong. So what are your thoughts?
You know, when it comes to instant replay, I really am at a bit of a loss in some of these interpretations. Do I think it's probably good to have it overall? Yes. But they still miss an awful lot, doesn't it seem like? I mean, how many times have you been watching a game and you've said, well, they're surely going to overturn this, or surely they can't overturn this, and it goes the opposite way? I just don't know exactly what the – it doesn't seem like there's a ton of consistency as it relates to replay. And I don't know how you fix that. But obviously they missed the call in this game. And, you know, look, on the field – I can see missing. That was a circus. That was a Chinese fire drill that was going on out there. Whether you're the play-by-play man, whether you're the guys on the field, whether you're the officials, that was crazy. But once the dust is settled and you do have an opportunity to look at the monitor, it is pretty hard to stomach. I can only imagine what David Cutcliffe and Duke are thinking, having essentially had that game taken away from them because they still didn't get it right on the second try. I think that's very difficult to digest if you're those guys.
Well, but the only thing I would say for Miami, having watched the end of that game, I'm not sure the Duke quarterback broke the plane to get the touchdown but prior to that. The one question I have, and Dave, you may not know either, when they watch a replay like that, for example, with a block in the back, if there's not a flag thrown on the actual play –
yeah, you can't go back
and make that penalty call, right?
No, you can't change that. The only thing you could change were the knees on the ground. And that seemed to be pretty obvious to me. But you can't change a judgment call from on the field in replay. But they did have enough that they could change that, I think that obviously the ACC's reaction suspending the officials and the replay official tells you all you need to know. I mean, they missed it.
Wow. All right, I only thought there was one play in the last game that was, a cousin of that crazy Frankenstein play down at the Miami-Duke game, and that was the Micah Kizer apparent interception in the back of the end zone. And it's interesting that Georgia Tech coach Paul Johnson thought that that was interference and raised Cain about it, and should he be fined?
Well, because he had questioned the ruling of or lack of an interference flag.
That is correct. He complained long and loud.
Well, I won't pretend to know exactly what the rules are as it relates to fines for coaches, but I know that they are typically they have to be very careful about that if they're going to say things publicly. I think on that play, I thought that they made the right call, and I thought that just because he wasn't looking at it, I didn't see contact. But I also thought they got the call at least. You could make the case, did he pick the ball off? I don't know. I mean, I think on the replay they made the right call because there wasn't enough evidence to suggest that he did have control. He just didn't have the angle based on what I saw. But, as far as a fine is concerned, I don't know. I mean, I didn't hear what he said, even if I did, I don't pretend to know exactly what the ACC's rules are regarding coaches and what they can or can't say.
Hey, Dave, before we let you go, you're about to head into your busy season where basketball and football overlap. So you got some busy weekends coming up here, don't you?
Yeah, the double dip will be in play. Although I got to tell you, I'm sad to say I'm going to miss three games to start this basketball season, including the season opener, which is tough to stomach. You guys are going to have to deal with
maybe,
Jay James.
Maybe Hobo will get his play-by-play call here.
That's right. You're going to have to arm wrestle Jay James for that honor.
Jay's a good guy. What the heck?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I think Hobo could take him. Hobo's a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
All I have to do
we'll
is land
out.
On him, and that would be it. You know?
One elbow drop. I'll call the arm wrestling match. I'll do play-by-play of that, and then the winner of that can do play-by-play
for
that game.
Probably a little quicker than I am at this stage.
All right. One last thing, Dave, before we let you go. I know you got to hustle over for your coach's show tonight. You know, the Virginia-Miami game, there is no line right now from Vegas. And I just thought that was very unusual. Is there something going on that we're not aware of?
They have to check with the officials first.
Yeah, right. No, you know, I think last I had heard, the quarterback situation is very much up in the air, because not only Brad Kaya, who missed that game last week with concussion-like symptoms, is, as I understand it, still listed as doubtful. I also heard a rumor that Rozier is very much questionable going into this game, the guy that replaced him against Duke. And I don't know what the situation is.
Right.
But I think that's got to have a lot to do with it, because who the heck is going to be taking snaps? That's obviously an essential piece of the puzzle for any football team.
Well, it is fascinating. There right now, there's no line available. And to my way of memory, I can't recall a game this year that by Monday evening there is no line for a Virginia game. But anyhow, we are grateful for your visit tonight, and we wish you luck on the coaches show tonight. I know that the mood will be wonderful, and hope you have a lot of fun. And in Richmond, you can listen to the UVA coaches show with Mike London and Dave Kane on WRVA 1140 AM, and that starts at 7 o'clock.
Yep, sounds good, guys. And, hey, I also want to mention one other thing, too, for fans out there. Tomorrow night, we've got Coach Bennett as well for a Virginia 529 coaches chat that's going to be going on at 6 o'clock online. So be looking for details on that. You can find it online. Go to the Virginia website, and it'll give you all the information.
Sounds good. Listen, Dave, best of luck. And I know that this game in Miami is going to be a thriller.
Yeah, it should be fun. You know, I wouldn't expect it to be raucous down there, but granted, with everything that's going on there, who knows what it's going to be like.
That's exactly right. Listen,
well,
have a
go
great
down there
night.
And get down there and get one and tell Mike we said hi and congratulations.
All right, we'll do, guys.
Take care, Dave. All right.
Thanks.
We're going to head to break now, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to introduce J.C. Poma, a great Richmond area kid who played his ball at Henrico High School. So stay with us. This is Who's Talking.